Nestled into a rolling hillside north of San Francisco, Skywalker Ranch is the command center of George Lucas's filmmaking empire. I first came here to interview Joseph Campbell, a friend and mentor to George Lucas. 12 years later, I came back, this time to interview the protege. After a 22-year hiatus, George Lucas is back in the director's chair with a new episode in his Star Wars epic, The Phantom Menace. I wanted to know why he thought the Star Wars saga had grasped such a hold on our collective imaginations. Over the course of an afternoon, we talked about myths and movies, fathers and sons, fantasy and imagination. Joseph Campbell said that all the great myths, the primitive myths, the great stories have to be regenerated if they're going to have any impact, and that you had done that with Star Wars. Are you conscious of doing that? Are you saying, I am trying to recreate the myths of old? Or are you saying, I just want to make a good action movie?
Well, when I did Star Wars, I consciously set about to recreate myths and the classic mythological motifs. And I wanted to use those motifs to deal with issues that existed today. You know, Joe used to talk about the basic issues that create the mystery of life, of, you know, birth and death. And I like to always add, you know, your relationship with your parents.
And I'm wondering, did you have such a mentor when you were growing up? Is this part of the movie an extension of what happened to you?
Obviously, my first mentor was my father, but then you progress with either, you know, people that are more skilled in a particular area than you are. In film, Francis Coppola became my mentor and taught me how to write screenplays, taught me how to work with actors. I was much more of a cameraman and a film editor, much more on the technical side of things. And, you know, I think my last mentor probably was Joe Campbell, who asked a lot of the interesting questions and exposed me to a lot of things that made me very interested in a lot more of the cosmic questions and the mystery. And I've been interested in those all my life, but I didn't focus it the way I had once I got to be good friends with Joe.
A professor I know said that he recently asked his freshman class how many of them had seen all three of the trilogy, and everyone in the class raised his hand, and he said to me, I hope Lucas knows he's mentoring an entire generation of young Americans.
I have a philosophy that we all teach, and we all teach every day of our lives, and it's not necessarily what we lecture. I've discovered kids don't like lectures at all, but it is really the way we live our lives and what we do with our lives and the way we conduct ourselves. And once in a while, they listen to the lectures. So when I make the films, I'm very aware of the fact that I'm teaching on a much larger scale than I would just as a parent or somebody walking through life, because I have this megaphone. Anybody in the media has a very large megaphone that they can reach a lot of different people. And so whatever they say, whatever they do, however they conduct themselves, whatever they produce has an influence and is teaching somebody something. I try to be aware of what it is I'm saying.
What do you make of the fact that so many people have interpreted Star Wars as being profoundly religious?
I don't see Star Wars as profoundly religious. I see Star Wars as taking all of the issues that religion represents and trying to distill them down into a more modern more easily accessible construct that people can grab onto to accept the fact that there is a greater mystery out there. When I was 10 years old, I asked my mother, I said, well, there's only one God. Why are there so many religions? And over the years, I've been pondering that question ever since, and it would seem to me that the conclusion I've come to is that all the religions are true. They just see a different part of the elephant. A religion is basically a container for faith. Faith is the glue that holds us together as a society, faith in our culture, our world, our, you know, whatever it is that we're trying to hang on to, is a very important part of, allowing us to remain stable, remain balanced. I put the Force into the movies in order to try to awaken a certain kind of spirituality in young people, more a belief in God than a belief in any particular religious system. I mean, the real question is to ask the question, because if you haven't enough interest in the mysteries of life to ask the questions, is there a God or is there not a God, that's for me the worst thing that can happen. You know, if you ask a young person, is there a God, and they say, I don't know, you know, I think you should have an opinion about that.
Do you have an opinion, or are you looking?
Well, I think there is a God. No question. What that God is, or what we know about that God, I'm not sure. The one thing I know about life and about the nature of the human race is that the human race has always believed it's known everything. You know, even the cavemen thought they had it all figured out, and they knew everything there was to know about everything, because that's where mythology came from. You know, it's constructing some kind of context for the unknown. So we figured it all out. It was fine. I would say that, you know, cavemen had, you know, on a scale, understood about one. You know, now we've made it up to about five. The only thing that most people don't realize is the scale goes to a million.
The central epic of our culture has been the Bible, and it's about fall, wandering, redemption, return. But the Bible no longer occupies that central place in our culture today. More and more people today, are, young people in particular, turning to movies for their inspiration, not to organize religion.
Mm-hmm. Well, I hope that doesn't end up being the course that this whole thing takes, because I think there's definitely a place for organized religion. That's a very important part of the social fabric. And I would hate to find ourselves in a completely secular world where, you know, entertainment was passing for some kind of religious experience.
One reason, one critic said, that Star Wars has been so popular with young people is religion without strings attached, that it becomes a very thin base for theology. In fact,
well, it is a thin base for theology. That's why I would hesitate to call the Force God. When the film came out, almost every single religion took Star Wars and used it as an example of their religion, and were able to relate it to young people and saying this is what, and relate the stories specifically to the Bible and relate stories to the Quran and the, you know, the Torah and things. And so it's like, you know, if it's a tool that can be used to make old stories be new and relate to younger people, that's what the whole point was.
Have you been influenced by Buddhism? Because Star Wars came along just about the time there was this growing interest in America in Eastern religions. And I notice in The Phantom Menace, the new episode one, that they discover this slave child who has an aura about him. And it reminded me of how the Buddhists go out to look for the next Dalai Lama.
Mm-hmm. Well, there's a mixture of all kinds of mythology and religious beliefs that have been amalgamated into the movie. And I've tried to take the ideas that seem to cut across the most cultures, because I'm fascinated by that. And I think that's one of the things that I really got from Joe Campbell, was that what he was trying to do is find the common threads through the various mythology, through the religions.
One of the comparisons that came to mind just when I was rewatching the series recently is when Darth Vader tempts Luke to come over to the Empire by offering him all that the Empire has to offer. I was taken back in my own youth to the story of Satan taking Christ to the mountain and offering him the kingdoms of the world if only he would turn away from his mission.
Right.
Was that conscious in your mind?
Well, yeah, I mean, that story also has been retold, the temptation. I mean, Buddha was tempted in the same way. It's all through mythology. I didn't want to invent a religion. I wanted to try to explain in a different way the religions that have already existed.
You're creating a new myth.
Well, I'm telling an old myth in a new way. I'm just taking the core myth, and I'm localizing it. As it turns out, I'm localizing it for the planet, but I guess I'm localizing it for the end of the millennium more than I am for any particular place. This is this is again part of the globalization of the world we live in. The average human being has much more awareness of the other cultures that coexist with them on this planet, and that certain things go across cultures, and entertainment is one of them, and film and the stories that I tell cut across all cultures, are seen all around the world.
So what lessons do you think they're taking away from watching Star Wars in Italy and Malaysia and South America?
One of the main themes in the film is having organisms realize that they must live together, and they must live together for mutual advantage. Not just humans, but all living things and everything in the galaxy is part of a greater whole. It's an issue of quieting your mind so you can listen to yourself and, as Joe would say, follow your bliss. It's to follow your talent is one way to put it. That's the way I see it. The hardest thing to do when you're young is to figure out what it is you're going to do. And you'll never know what it is you're going to do. But if you follow the things that you enjoy, I'm not sure anybody really enjoys making money. They may enjoy what they do after they've made it, but they don't enjoy the process. If you can find something that you actually enjoy the process, then you found your bliss.
And what do stories do for us in that sense? What are myths?
They try to show us our place. Myths help you to have your own hero's journey, find your individuality, find your place in the world, but hopefully remind you that you're part of a whole and that you must also be part of the community and think of the welfare of the community above the welfare of yourself.
I hear so many young people today talk about a world that's emptied of heroism, where there are no more noble things to do. What do you say to them?
Everybody has the choice of being a hero or not being a hero every day of their lives. And you can either help somebody, you can be compassionate toward people, you can treat some people with dignity, or not. And one way you become a hero, and the other way, you know, you're part of the problem. And it's not a grand thing. You know, you don't have to get into a giant laser sword fight and blow up 3 spaceships to become a hero. I mean, it's a very small thing that happens every day of your life.